And there's some left, so parents, you can come down and sneak a few after the service as well. So, I want to read a short scripture from the book of Isaiah, and then I want to pray for us tonight. The prophet Isaiah, his ministry was 750 years before Christ was born. And he wrote these words for us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words of prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, inspired by your Holy Spirit, to write these words about the Christ child and who he was and what he would become and how he would minister to all those under his rule. We are so grateful and we give thanks tonight that to us a child was born and that to us a son was given. Lord, as we look around our world, our nation, our states, our local communities, there's a lot of division between the people and the government, it seems. And I'm grateful for what it says in this passage, that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the righteous ruler who always makes the right judgments and rules and reigns perfectly over your people. Lord, thank you for these names that we are told that Jesus will be: Wonderful Counselor. Lord, counsel us, direct us, show us what to do, instruct us, put us in touch with the right people so that we may find encouragement. We know that Jesus is Mighty God, a mystery beyond all mysteries, one God, three persons. We know that you're the Prince of Peace, and our world needs peace. And we look forward to that day when you return, and peace will reign forever and ever and ever. So tonight, every family here, every family that's watching online, I pray that you would bless us richly with your presence and with your rule and your reign, and that we would surely know it to be true, and that we would experience you ruling and reigning over us this very day. That's my prayer, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to reread some of the words that Lee read as he opened up the service. This will be from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Then I've got a few things to share with you about it. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Have you ever traveled a long day and began to look for a hotel to stay in that night if you didn't make an advance reservation and you couldn't find one. Beth and I had that experience many years ago. We've had that a couple of times that I can remember. But we were driving from Jacksonville, Florida, and heading up the East Coast. And I think our destination was Williamsburg, Virginia. Her brother was playing up there and as a summer job and in one of the bands. He was a musician. And so we started looking for a place to stay maybe 10 or 11 o'clock that evening somewhere in North Carolina. And we would get off at every exit and go into every lobby of the main hotels that were gathered. And we probably went to 7, 8, 10 hotels, got all the way past Richmond. And so between, if you know your geography, between Richmond and Williamsburg, Virginia, we finally found a hotel at like 2:45 in the morning. We kept finding or hearing the words from the clerk, "No vacancy. We have no rooms tonight." And we kept on searching. I was frustrated. I was tired. We were both irritable. We were sleepy. We thought about pulling over in a rest area and just sleeping there. Mary and Joseph had traveled a long way as well. Not as far as we travel, but they traveled from Galilee down to Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I'm sure when they arrived, they were much like we were. We were tired. We were irritable. You know, you don't think of Joseph and Mary being irritable, but it's likely they were if the journey was hard and the journey was rough. So the human experience of our Savior began this way. He was born in a stable, out in the presence of animals. Now, that's not to say there were no animals inside the inn partying and celebrating that night with others, drinking and making merry. But that night, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was wrapped and laid in a feeding trough. No crib for a bed, we sing. What a beginning. Imagine the look that Mary and Joseph exchanged with each other on the whole circumstances surrounding the birth of the Messiah. And they go, "Here we are. We made it." There was no place in the inn. There was no place in the house. And this was the beginning of an experience that Jesus would have over and over and over. There was no place for him in many, many different places. There was no room for him in the hearts of many of the most powerful and influential religious leaders of the day, when they should have easily recognized him as the fulfillment of prophecy all through the Old Testament, when they should have recognized him as the promised Messiah. Instead, they ridiculed him. They rejected him as a fanatic who was intent on destroying their current religious establishment. There was little or no room for Jesus in the hearts and lifestyles of the rich and famous of the day. People had more important things to do than to get religion. They were too busy trying to make their lives into something while they missed seeing and comprehending the very giver of life himself. The only place there was room for Jesus was on a cross. A cross where he suffered for the sins that his own people had committed against him and against his Father in heaven. On this night, Christmas Eve, churches celebrating all over the world, the gathering of God's people, do you have room for Jesus? I can make a confession myself that happens at times. I get busy. I'm not a big government figure. I don't have that authority. I'm not considered a rich man, although I'm blessed. But often, in the pursuits of ruling over my own life, Jesus gets crowded out. He gets pushed to the outside. I can sometimes hear him knocking like he did at the church in the book of Revelation, knocking to see if he had room in a local church. Do you have room for Jesus in your heart. And there's only one kind of heart. It's described many ways, but it's a heart that has room for Jesus is a heart that is going to be made new, a born again heart, a heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. So very often, and probably every time in one way or another, a broken heart, a saddened heart, a burdened heart. How do you know if you have that kind of heart that has room for Jesus? If after you evaluate your life and come to the conclusion without the salvation that Jesus brings, you are doomed, then you have the kind of heart that Jesus will find room. 30 years after the night that Jesus was born in a Bethlehem stable, one of the influential and powerful religious leaders of the day sought him out secretly at night, probably so he wouldn't be seen by his fellow religious leaders, Nicodemus. He came and asked some questions of Jesus, and Jesus responded to him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then a few verses later in the conversation, Jesus added, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life." These are the words that, amazingly so, by the power of God, affect our hearts and prepare us to receive Christ as Savior. If you have not done that, if you have not submitted your prayers and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, you can do that tonight, and this will be a Christmas that you will never, ever forget. And perhaps there's some people here tonight or viewing us online that have been pushing Jesus off to the side. Well, I would simply say to you tonight, be reconciled to the Savior tonight. Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to share a story. I've probably shared this one on a few different Christmas Eves before, and maybe you've heard it, but it's about a little boy named Wally, and he was awkward, he was shy, he was bullied, and he had been coming to the church's kid club on Wednesday nights, and this year the kids club was putting on a Christmas pageant, and the leaders, they were struggling on how do we find a part for Wally. He's shy, he's awkward, he's quiet. How can we get him to play a part in the play? So they looked over every single part, and they decided to make Wally the innkeeper and give him one little short sentence to say. And they were all on pens and needles with their fingers crossed that Wally would repeat his line at the proper time. His one line was, "I'm sorry, we have no room." So that was his one line. So the night of the play arrived, and his famous scene was about to be performed. And Mary and Joseph came and knocked on the door of the inn, and Wally answered the door just as he was supposed to do. And Joseph asked, "Please, sir, do you have any room for us in the inn?" Everybody's going, praying for Wally. And Wally spoke his lines brilliantly. He said, "I'm sorry, we have no room in the inn." Well, the young boy that was playing Joseph decided to have a little fun with Wally at the most inappropriate time, right in the middle of the Christmas play. And so instead of walking away as the script directed, he asked the question again, maybe with the intent of flustering Wally. He said, can you please find us a room? Surely you have something." And Wally's face, you know, this wasn't according to the script. And Wally paused for a moment, and then he said, "I'm sorry, we have no room in the inn." Well, the young boy playing Joseph was not finished yet. He was deciding to have a fun with Wally. Maybe he was one of the bullies that picked on him during the year. So Joseph asked, "But sir, we've traveled so far from a long way away. Surely you can find us a room somewhere." And Wally bowed his head, shook it sadly, repeated his line much quieter this time. "I'm sorry, we have no room." So Mary and Joseph turned and began to walk away. And Wally is completely into his role. He's saddened by the reality of what he has had to say. A tear runs down out of his eye and down his cheek. And then everyone watched Wally say something that was not in the script. "Wait! Come back! You can have my room." And if that's true, I don't know, stories like that. You don't know whether someone wrote it, it was in a book somewhere, or it really happened, some Christmas program. But I bet if that one was true, nobody there that night forgot that. Is there room in your heart for Jesus tonight? Do you have the kind of heart, the humble heart, that's believing and ready to give your life to God? We're going to pray in just a moment, and we're going to light a candle and sing Silent Night. I just invite you to pray and be reconciled to God. He receives whosoever, regardless of your past, regardless of your sins, regardless of your failures, regardless of how you've messed it up, young, old, middle-aged, doesn't matter. Think about that as we pray. Heavenly Father, the free gift of God is Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for this precious gift, your very own Son, the only begotten Son of God. Would you open all of our hearts tonight to have room for him so that we may worship, we may be guided by him, we may have fellowship with him, and we may learn to obey his commands greater and greater throughout our lives. That's our prayer tonight as we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand up? And we're going to light a candle. I think maybe Mark back there, if you could dim those lights a little bit, dim a few of the, maybe the overhead ones would be great. Praise team starts playing, we'll just sing along with them.